Adam Brickley is a young political activist who started a movement that ended up changing history. In February of 2007, with Sarah Palin just 1 month into her first term as governor of Alaska, he started up the Draft Sarah Palin for Vice President blog, which was the first effort to catapult Mrs. Palin into the limelight for 2008. Little noticed at first, it picked up steam and is credited with helping to get the ball rolling in terms of the governor's national viability for this election cycle. If you don't believe that statement, ask yourself why the governor and her husband called Adam to thank him on the day of her selection. In a decade that has seen the internet transform politics organizationally in so many ways, Adam's story testifies to the power that an average citizen now can have to mobilize like-minded people in every corner of our nation. So there's our intro. Hopefully it's one that he likes. Adam, welcome to the FDH Lounge tonight.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine, thanks. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing just fine,
What are your thoughts here? We're sitting 48 hours away from the moment of truth, and I think we both have our respective thoughts on how things seem to be going, which I think you and I would probably say not as well as we might like here at this point in time. But, you know, regardless, nobody can ever take away the notion of the governor being on the ticket here and what was accomplished to this point. So what are your thoughts as we sit here on this Sunday night?
I think we've done some amazing stuff, and plus, I don't think it's as bad as people are thinking. You know, all the polling data I've looked at indicates that we're looking at a much closer race than everybody thinks. The Democrats aren't doing as good as they think they are getting early voters out. Not by the breakdowns I've seen in exit polls. Most of the public polls I've seen are over-polling Democrats. They're building more Democrats into the sample than they normally do, which is why they're getting these leads. So I'm actually thinking it's going to be a lot closer than a lot of people are saying. But regardless, I'm optimistic, and I think we've got something great here in Sarah Palin, no matter who wins.
I have a sense that you're right about the closeness of it. I'm still certainly what you'd describe as pessimistic overall in terms of outcome, but I think it can be closer than that. Is it? Are you somebody that subscribes to the notion that the conventional wisdom seems to be Obama about 330, 340 at this point in time in the Electoral College? Does that looks overblown to me by at least about 50 right now. Are you getting the sense that's a little overblown?
Yeah, well, I'm not qualified to address that, but I do think that's overblown. I think we're probably going to end up winning North Carolina. We're probably going to win Missouri. There's a chance we can win Ohio. We'll see what happens in Virginia. Actually, if you talk to McCain people, they're very optimistic. The internal polls are showing a tie in Iowa, so we have a shot at winning there. We have a shot in Pennsylvania. We might pick off one or two blue states. So, no, I don't think we're going to be looking at the type of electoral landslide that everybody's talking about. There's going to be some shifting of the map, but I don't think it's going to be that drastic, and a lot of the states that people are giving to Obama right now aren't going to go that way.
Well, you know what I want to do as we're sitting here, as I say, about 48 hours away from having a sense of what's going to happen here. I want to retrace back to the beginning here and the formation of your blog. I actually want to run a scenario here by you because I tried when I was much younger actually to do something similar to what you did, and it fizzled completely because the technology wasn't there. Back in 94... I was a young guy not long out of college. Malcolm Wallop had an article, I think, in National Review that some people took as a trial balloon to run for president. So me being a young guy full of piss and vinegar, I scraped together the few pennies I had, took out a couple ads in the back of Human Events, and, hey, write the guy's office. You know, and I sent a letter to him, and, you know, I took out some ads for you, and I really hope you get a groundswell. And I actually kind of blame myself for the fact he never ran because I'll bet you nobody else responded to it. I mean, you couldn't do that before the internet. You couldn't be just, you know, Joe Anonymous Citizen and make something like this happen. And here, you've done it. This is really the first time. I mean, have you allowed yourself to kind of reflect on this at all in terms of how the history books are going to look at something like this and marking this moment in time as far as the way the internet's transforming things?
I do. You know, I'm not the only one that's done stuff like that. There were a lot of people involved in the draft Fred Thompson movement. There were a lot of people involved in trying to draft Mark Warner on the Democrat side. But I think the history books are going to look back on this election and see that the internet really changed the way the playing field set up. Obviously, you know, people like me were able to string together mailing lists and campaigns for Sarah Palin on, you know, and on the other side too. I really don't think Barack Obama would be the candidate If it wasn't for his internet fundraising machine, if it wasn't for the internet being able to compile small donations like that, I think we'd be talking about whether or not Hillary Clinton was going to win in 48 hours. So this is definitely going to go down as the internet election on both sides of the ticket, regardless of who wins, yeah.
No question, and I agree with you completely on Obama. He took what Howard Dean was able to do and took it a step further, ultimately, and was able to consolidate and put together that type of movement, and that's why he's at where he was at, because he was able to put that together. And I have to say, too, again, in the early days of your blog, we at this show were not aware of it, but I will say this. The first show we ever did was on January 14th, so right about the time of her inauguration, and one of the guys on this show, I must say, Chris Galloway, mentioned her on this show as being a potential future star, and I'll be honest with you, I'd never heard of her before. I mean, I'm a political junkie, but I'd never heard of her, and I was very impressed. So, I mean, I know from your FAQ, you hadn't heard of her before a certain point there, but you seemed to be almost immediately impressed the same way I was.
Right. Well, you know, I've been doing some research at the time for my own personal benefit. You know, who are the rising stars in the Republican Party? Who might be getting this VP nomination when it comes through? Because, you know, what got me started was I was thinking that VP slot, no matter who ended up winning the nomination, you know, at that time it could have been Giuliani or Romney or, you know, who knows. But, you know, regardless of who won that nomination, was that we needed to reserve that VP slot for somebody who was the future, not somebody who was the present. You know, the rising stars, people who are going to be there in 4 or 8 years to run. And so I was looking for who those people are, and I stumbled across Sarah Palin and read, you know, looked at what she'd done in Alaska. She'd built an almost Obama-type, you know, grassroots movement, and she was actually transferring that sort of energy into government and using that political capital to get an agenda accomplished extremely quickly. So, you know, it's not hard to look at Sarah Palin and say that's somebody we need in national office, because that's somebody who, A, has the charisma to lead, and B, knows how to lead and knows how to get the legislature to go along with the proposal.
Well, and I had written a column about a year ago, for our blog we've got here, and just kind of musing about the future, that if this was a losing election cycle for the Republicans, what a good ticket might look like in 2012. And I said a year ago, Sarah Palin, Bobby Jindal, in whatever order, put them in a hat, you know, draw it out, you're a winner either way with that, too. I mean, it strikes me that it's not a thing of her being a woman. A lot of people want to make that identity politics, but to me, it's a thing where if you have somebody who's hardcore, who on the issues, who does the right thing, but also happens to check off these boxes, I don't see that as anything other than a win.
Yeah, it is a win, and it's not necessarily because she's a woman. You know, people were talking, you know, a year ago when we were doing this, everybody was talking about how she matched up so well with Hillary because she was a woman, and people started calling her the anti-Hillary, and I said, wrong comparison. Totally wrong comparison. Sarah Palin's not the anti-Hillary Clinton. She's really more the Republican version of Barack Obama. It has nothing to do with gender. It has everything to do with leadership quality and leadership style.
Well, then why did the McCain campaign, do you think, pick her? Because that's not what the explanation that we've been getting since he put her as on his ticket.
Well, I think the McCain ticket picked her for a lot of reasons. Personally, A, she is a good leader. She has expertise on the issues where John McCain's a little shaky, namely energy issues and to some degree economics, domestic policy issues. On the other hand, she's an extremely good campaigner, an extremely good presence on the ticket. And yes, from a tactical standpoint, putting a woman on the ticket this year was a very good idea with a bunch of disgruntled Hillary Clinton voters. So for my 2 cents, I think she checked off every possible box we had. You know, she had the right issues, the right demographic profile, the right leadership quality. She had everything. So it's kind of a you can't lose with that pick.
So you don't see her as a drag on the ticket, as some people have been saying, that she's a drag?
No, I get asked that all the time. And the answer is that, you know, I think that some of the ways the campaign people, you know, some of the staffers that they brought in might have managed her, you know, dented the rise for a while, in the sense that, you know, she had to find her feet on the national stage. She had to get acquainted with the national issues, which is not something we're used to seeing in vice presidential candidates, because normally we have governors on the top of the ticket, and we get senators who are normally experts on foreign policy who get to jump in right on the bottom of the ticket. We're not used to seeing governors on the bottom of the ticket. And, you know, I'll with CNN running, you know, 24/7 anti-Palin infomercials, you know, yeah, maybe you can dent her popularity, but if you've watched her in the last couple of weeks, you know, she's found her feet, she's found her voice. She's back, I think, to where she was coming out of the Republican National Convention, and she's starting to help the ticket again. And the other thing is that, yeah, there are a lot of people that don't like her. Namely, her negatives are driven up by the fact that she makes Democrats livid, you know, and as she should. You know, she kind of flies in the face of everything, you know, the liberal paradigm believes in, which is that they're the only ones that are allowed to represent women and minorities and such. So, yes, I can see why she has high negatives, because the people on the other side are not just not voting for her, they are against her existence, and that's why you see those numbers. But if you look at the people she's revved up, she's still drawing huge crowds for the Republican side of the ticket. People are still talking her up as the potential nominee in 2012 should, you know, the worst happen and we lose this one. So, you know, her popularity in the Republican base is almost unparalleled. So, no, I don't think she's a drag on the ticket, and I think she's the reason that a lot of people are excited about McCain and doing the work that we're going to have to do if we're going to win this election in 48 hours.
Well, Adam, and again, I know, again, your blog is not officially affiliated with the campaign, although it's certainly an advocacy one. So the venting that I'm going to do right now, I'm not necessarily going to, you know, expect you to agree with what I'm about to say, because I understand the position you're in, but I am irate at the handling that she has had here as far as this thing, as far as getting put on Katie Couric's show in the first place here. I thought she was too programmed, frankly, for that first debate. The whole Maverick thing here, I wanted to hear her talk about the Oil and Gas Commission and what she did. I wanted to hear her talk, because there are so many compelling things that could have, should have been said, and I just think so many people around here, some of these Einsteins that think they're so great because they got George Bush elected 4 years ago, I think there's been a lot of malpractice as far as how she's been dealt with internally.
Yeah, the thing is, I won't disagree with you there. You know, I think she did good in the debate. I actually think she won the debate. But on terms of some of the other things that have been done, you know, people should go to my blog. You know, I'll give out the address of the plug, you know, palin4vp.blogspot.com. I put up an entry recently entitled Rogue, and about, you know, all this people saying Palin is going rogue. And you know, what right do her own staffers have to say that she's going off message? She's the candidate. They're the staffers. They're the people that, you know, were responsible for the fact that she got in trouble for a few weeks. And frankly, I'm amazed that some of them are still employed by the McCain campaign, and it's the staffers that are going rogue, not Sarah. And I'll say that publicly.
Well, that's great. I'm glad that you did, because I couldn't agree with it more, because that's where I put a lot of the blame here. And again, I'll agree with you that she won the debate, in as much as it all goes to where the expectations bar is. And the bar, because of what had happened previously, yeah. I mean, the fact that she got through it, I thought she won it. But again, you as somebody who's a fan of hers, me as somebody who's a fan of hers, I don't know about you, but I'm sitting there screaming at the TV, why aren't you saying this? Why aren't you saying that? The Alaska pipeline, Joe Biden voted against it in 73. Why am I not hearing about that? Right. I mean, I felt like there were missed opportunities. And I feel like, again, her instincts are so much better than anybody she's got around her.
Yeah, she does have great political instincts, and, you know, I think that's when the campaign has been at its best, is when, you know, she goes with her own gut, you know. To heck with, you know, what the managers say. That's when Sarah's always been at her best. I've researched her for close to not 2 years, but, you know, I've been on this for over a year and a half now, and that's, you know, that's when Palin is her best. If you really dig into when she's campaigned before, is she's actually best off the cuff. She's best when she gets to talk directly to people. And so, yeah, we need to let Sarah drive her own campaign.
Well, you know, the question I still have is, and I have yet to hear conservatives, and I'm a Republican myself, answer this directly, because they always answer it with another question, and that is Sarah Palin ready to be commander-in-chief if something happens to President John McCain? And the answer that I get from conservatives and Republicans are, well, is Barack Obama ready to be commander-in-chief? I mean, that's not the answer I want to hear. I want to hear if she is, do you believe she's ready to be commander-in-chief? And if so, why and how?
Yeah, well, I believe she is ready to be commander-in-chief. I wouldn't have started this blog if I didn't think she could be commander-in-chief. And frankly, I wouldn't have started this blog if 4 or 8 years down the road I didn't want her to be commander-in-chief. And here's the thing that people need to know about Sarah Palin. Yes, she may be a little light on foreign policy experience, as has almost every president since the 1970s. But, you know, she has the type of grit and the type of tough leadership qualities in the state of Alaska that we want in a commander-in-chief. I really looked into the way, not just what she did up there, but how she handled the legislature, how she handled people who were against her. And if you look at the party breakdown up there in the Alaska state legislature, Palin did not get along with either party in the state of Alaska, because the Republican Party up there is run by the good old boy club. If you know anything about when she ran for governor, you know, for example, at the Alaska State Fair, the Republican Party would not even give out Palin signs despite the fact that she was their nominee. She was not on good grounds with either political party. She essentially had to govern as a third-party governor, and despite that, she was able to use, you know, essentially sheer willpower and political capital to pressure both Democrats and the Republicans into going along with her agenda. She showed an extremely hard-nosed quality of leadership working against a hostile legislature. And, you know, people say, you know, that I'm joking when I say this. I'm not joking, having analyzed Alaska politics for the last year and a half. If you can stare down Lyda Green, the president of the Alaska State Senate, you can stare down Vladimir Putin real easy. I mean, she really shook up the House up there, and I have absolutely no doubt that she has the spine of steel necessary to lead this country.
No, I tend to agree with you. The interesting thing here, and of course on this program, we of course have a range of opinions. My colleague Burrell Jackson, you know, we were talking about this off air prior to this. I will tell you, in all candor, Adam, living in the Cleveland area here, a very decidedly blue area in a marginally red state, Okay, I do know a lot of people, and I've had a lot of people say to me that they're not voting because Sarah Palin's on the ticket and because they don't trust her, blah, blah, blah. So those people do exist. Right. I believe that people like myself who are energized by the selection outnumber that. I believe it's a net gain. The people are out there. I do encounter them. I do talk to them. I do roll my eyes quite a bit when I get that. But there's no question that it's there, and I think that's one of the things that just infuriates me more about the internal handling, because I don't think it necessarily had to be this way.
No, it didn't. It didn't. And, you know, like I said, Sarah Palin is more than qualified, I think, to be, you know, Commander-in-Chief of the United States, and I think she's shown that throughout her political career. And I think that'll come through, you know, if we win on Tuesday, and I think that's a bigger possibility than a lot of people do right now. You know, I think that'll come through. I think she'll be a very effective vice president.
Well, what I'm wondering about here is in terms of, and you mentioned your URL, and I want to get that out again, and we'll do that again, you know, at the end of the time with you here. But PalinForVP.blogspot.com. Now, with us being 48 hours away from this thing being over, presumably being over, assuming we don't head for another 2000 scenario, again, the usefulness of the URL will have come and gone. So, I mean, she will no longer be running for VP one way or another 48 hours from now. Where do you go from here, Adam, as far as, again, you believe, as I believe and a number of other people believe, that she could be the future, that she is, win, lose, or draw, in my estimation, entitled to be first in line. I've always bemoaned the fact that this is a royalist party. For the first time in my life, I'm grateful that it is, because she's first in line. Where do you go from here as far as continued promotion of her efforts?
Well, listen, obviously I'm optimistic that we're going to win on Tuesday, so obviously I'm going to ramp up for the inauguration. But, you know, should the worst happen, I'll make no bones about the fact that, you know, I am totally on board until Tuesday, and I expect to be there at the inauguration. But should the worst happen, where can I get my Sarah 2012 sign?
Well, you know what? You tell me where you're getting up, because I want to order one, too. I want to ask you also, I want to turn this on a personal note here and just kind of get your thoughts on this. I mean, when it all came down, and it was a great shock, and it was a very pleasant shock to me when she ended up getting the nod here, especially when you think about some of these other complete non-entities that were getting floated, thankfully, as head face.
Right.
What were your thoughts, and you mentioned on the blog here, too, and I made note of it when I put up the thing mentioning your appearance here tonight, when you got the phone call from Sarah and Todd Palin thanking you for your efforts. I mean, that's like the Disney moment to me right there, you know. Tell me what you were thinking on that day.
Oh, gosh, it was great. I mean, I wasn't as surprised as the rest of the nation because, you know, the tea leaves I'd seen had said that McCain was going to go with a surprising choice. I didn't know which one. I was hoping it was ours, and it turned out it was. But, you know, I was on cloud nine, especially when I finally got that phone call, because, you know, it's nice to know that, you know, after you put so much work into something, that you had an effect.
That is tremendous, really. You know, and I think that really says it all as far as the impact of what you did with that blog and the way that you were able to do this. I mean, you don't get that phone call if you weren't, vitally important to helping to get the ball rolling in the first place. Right. There's always the first guy to start rolling that thing down the hill there. So that had to be great to get that acknowledgement. And I think it says a lot about their character also for them to take time to do that on such a great day.
It did. I mean, you know, that was my affirmation that we got the right person.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I think it speaks very well of their character. And let me ask you this, too, because I've heard different scenarios about this as far as the Ted Stevens thing here. Is it true that she would not be allowed to name a replacement for him, that they changed the laws up there after the whole Murkowski fiasco? Do you know about that either way?
Yes, they did change the law after the Murkowski fiasco when he appointed his daughter to the U.S. Senate. And what the process is now is that the governor has been totally removed from the process. So should Ted Stevens be removed from if Ted Stevens wins re-election and is then removed from office, the Alaska Republican Party would be in charge of choosing the next senator.
That's a shame. I was hoping for Senator First Dude, but I guess she's not going to be able to do that then.
That's not going to happen. And, to be honest, there's a really good chance that Mark Begich will be winning that race for the Democrats anyway, which has its silver linings as I'm getting used to the fact that we will have a pro-Anwar drilling Democrat in Congress, so we suddenly make this a bipartisan issue.
Well, that would be great. That would be tremendous. And again, I think there's a lot of bright things yet to come for Sarah Palin and for the movement that you helped get going here. And I think one way or another it carries on past Tuesday. And I tell you what, again, because of what's going to be her undeniable continued relevance on the scene, we're definitely going to be interested in talking to you again about this as we move forward, as we see whatever developments happen. But it's been a pleasure having you on tonight, Adam. We thank you for making time for us, and we definitely would like to talk to you again.
All right, thanks. Look forward to it.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. Adam right. Brickley, everybody.
No
That's
problem.
Palin. The blog name here is the URL is palinforvp.blogspot.com. And again, and I've said this, Burrell, in terms of talking to people off air about booking Adam for the show here tonight, I've pointed out that, regardless of what anybody thinks about what he did, you don't have to be a fan of what happened the way that I am to see the significance in this, because we really haven't seen anything like this in American history before. You've got to put this alongside, in the history books, I think, what Howard Dean did with showing what could be done with the mobilization, Barack Obama taking it a step further. You've got to, alongside these developments, somewhere in there, you got to put Adam Brickley getting this thing going, because we've never seen this before, where somebody can take an obscure governor, start a movement going thanks to the internet, and boom, 18 months later, they're on the ticket.